Okay, welcome everyone. We are going to be learning now. This is going to be part four of the classes that we've been giving for about a month and a half in the discourse Kegavna, which is an explanation of a passage of the Zohar that we say every Friday night that depicts the spiritual dynamics of Shabbos. And it said before the after the welcoming of the Shabbos prayer, which is called Kabbalah Shabbos. After that, when we go to say the evening service, the Arvit, the evening prayer, there's a passage in between called Kegavna. It's from the Zohar, but it's very cryptic, and not a lot of people sing it really beautifully, but not really know what they're saying. And there's a lot of cantorial pieces on it, but to understand what it means, we are learning over here, and this is going to be the class, either the final class or the one before the final class. Let's see how far we go. And in the themes that we were learning in the earlier classes, it would help if you to understand this class, to learn the previous classes, which is part one, two, and three. The idea over here is that on Shabbos, there is a great, the passage begins with just like there is an absolute unity in the above, so too below, everything becomes unified. She becomes unified. Just like he is unified above, so too she becomes unified below as well. To be one opposite one, that the unity above should be reflected below, and so on and so forth. So, the themes over here that we learn that it says in the Kegavna is it talks all about some kind of a unification that happens below to be able to cause the lower world and the higher world to merge together, and how when that happens, all the elements of judgment and all the constrictions and all the wrath and the anger and the judgment and all of that dissipates, and everything goes into a state of joy and pleasure and delight and happiness, and we're entering into Shabbos. So in the earlier classes, we were learning that the meaning of this is there is a state of existence, the world which is above creation, or the realm above creation. We're over there. There is only oneness. And even when God is already reflecting and projecting all different types of personality aspects, all different types of spherot and attributes and things like that, what dominates, what primarily is felt throughout that entire realm, we refer to that realm as the world of Atzilus, the world of emanation. What dominates in that realm is only Echad, only oneness, because it's only the Or Ein Sof, the infinite light, fills that world so intensely that you don't see so much the differentiations of spherot and attributes. It's all like one being. However, once in the level of the Shekhinah, which is the level of Malchut, which is the level of Hashem descending to create into the realms of creation, that's where there is much more Hischalkut, which means that separation and disconnect and pirud and fragmentation. And fragmentation is what makes up the lower realm, which makes up our worlds, where there's a lot of disconnect and disjointedness. Until we will come to the time of Mashiach, that the oneness above will catch up down here below. That we will experience the unity down here in the material physical world, that everything is going to be unified. Like it says, Bayom Ahu, Yia Hashem Echad Ushma Yachad. That on that day, Hashem will be one and His name will be one. So there will be a unity uniform above and below. The chiddush, the novelty of the day of Mashiach, the times of Mashiach, is that that unity that is above will translate down here below. The unity that is above will become utterly translated down here below. But until we reach the time that we can download the unity, we reveal the unity mamish in our world, that everything is in a state of unity, until that time, there are moments every Shabbos where the Shekhinah, which is the source of creation, rises and she pulls with her the internal elements of this world that rise above the fragmentation and the external shells of existence and enter into the unity. In the earlier pieces, we were learning how that elevation, how the Shekhinah rises from multiplicity into a state of unity, how it starts on Erev Shabbos by Mincha time. And how during that time she has to shake herself up and wash herself from the sense of existence. She has to free herself from the yeshus, from the state of beingness, which is a contradiction to the unity. She has to shake herself off, and she starts gathering herself together. We also learned in last class how all the angels and all the entities that are all part of the Malchut world, they all have to gather in her. And then later it's like, remember we learned that when people, the ministers and people are going to come see the king, they first have to gather by the great minister's house. And they're all joined together and they become one heart and one mind to go to the king. And then this minister is able to bring them all with him when he goes in. So we learned last week that there is a certain state of unity that begins on Erev Shabbos. We learned very important that on Friday we have to keep the peace, especially Friday afternoon when things get sometimes before Shabbos, there's a balagan, there's a lot of intensity, and sometimes dafka at that time, people are prone to have a little fight, a little thing, and that's very, very important that there is this very strong sense of unity, dafka Friday afternoon, and so that we're preparing for the unity. And then Shabbos, as it becomes Friday night, the Shekhinah, Malchut, rises. First, she receives the light of Atzilus, comes down to greet her in the world of Berea, in the world of creation. And then she's invited in, and she enters into the unity of Atzilus, together with us, together with all of creation. That means on a deeper internal level, we all rise, our consciousness rises into oneness. Simple words, it means that we're not so fragmented in all the stuff that we were stuck during the week. We can see the uniform. We can see Hashem in our life. Basically, Friday night is a time to look at your entire week and see what's the nekuda. What was the point? Where do I see God that is the centerpiece of all these pieces, how it all comes together? While we're in the middle of the week, we get lost in the little particles and we forget the center entity of it. Shabbos is when we bring it all together. Kind of that's the idea that we were learning earlier. Now, what happens? The verse says, this is on page Reish Nun Hei. You have it? It's Reish Nun Hei is after 508 and before 510. So it's Vis Atras. And then it says, Vis Atras, she becomes crowned, Bekama Itrin, with many crowns, Legaba Malka Kadisha, to the Holy King. That means the Shekhinah, Malchus. Remember we spoke that Friday night is mainly, the Shabbos of Friday night is the feminine Shabbos. It's the Shabbos of the Shekhinah. Because what's Shabbos? Shabbos is the resting that God has from the work that he does during the week. Which element of God is working during the week? It's the feminine element of God. It's the Shekhinah. It's Hashem's speech that becomes embedded in the creation. Those are the energies that Hashem invests into the world. Friday night, Hashem releases those energies and allows those energies to return back into him. It's like he ceases to talk. And this power of speech is brought back into the source. So as the Shekhinah is rising, what happens? This Atras, she crowns herself, Bekama Itrin, with many crowns, Legaba Malka Kadisha, in front of the Holy King. So what does that mean? And then it says, as this happens, the Chol Shultani, where's the Lashon over there? You have it. The Chol Shultani, I have it over here, 1 second. Here's a sither. Oh, I have it actually over here. Rugzin, and all the rulers of wrath. How does he translate that in English? You have that over there? Shultane Rugzin. Shultane Rugzin is called No, much later. She crowns herself with many crowns to the Holy King. All powers of wrath. Okay, that's it. And the entities of judgment. No, what does he translate it? Umare dedina. Yeah, but after the word and all the powers of wrath, what's the next word? And all? Adversaries. Okay. All elements of all prosecuting angels, all entities of wrath and anger all dissipate. During the week, there's a lot of judgment. Shabbos comes and all these forces of this all disappears. They all escape. This abrimina, they're removed from her. The lay shultana achra, and there isn't a foreign power bekula alman in all worlds. That means that during the week there is a foreign power. Is there really a foreign power? Well, that's the concept of galut hashchina, that the shchina allows herself to be dominated by and sometimes by extraneous forces called the chitzonim, the external elements that kind of can jam and can affect, with God's will, of course, but affect the radiance of the Shekhinah. Okay, atka. So now he explains. So the Alter Rebbe explains this passage as follows. In the Achar Shabir say that Allah, after he explained the order of the elevation, in the preparation that is needed first, just like before you go into a king, you have to dress yourself. That's what we learned in last class. You have to make sure that you're dressed appropriately. You can't come directly from the workplace and with your jeans to come see the king. It just doesn't work. You have to change your clothing. You have to change and look like be very, very aristocratic to come into the king. So the Shekhinah too has to remove from herself the garments of weekday, put on dawn upon her Shabbos gown, b'tikun ha'kelim v'alavushim, and the garments min advarim ha'machshichim, from the entities that darken u'mastirin oira malchus, and they block the luminance of malchus of the Shekhinah, k'niskelel, as we said earlier. So now, atom medaber. So that was mainly about removing whatever is inappropriate, removing whatever is crass and coarse and so on and so forth. It's like putting down our toolbox. Translating that into our world, we are all pieces of the Shekhinah, letting go of the weekday world. But it's not just enough to let go of the weekday world. We have to don ourselves in garments into Shabbos clothing. So now it speaks about things that she needs to illuminate her. She has to now dress herself with things, with ornaments, with jewelry, with things that are going to add to her an added light and an added splendor. More than the radiance and the beautification that she had before. Like the marshal of someone walking into the house of the king, into the palace. You need a last minute makeup. You need a last minute fixing. Maybe the people who are working for the king brush the person up and give them, you know, hold this, wear this, put this on, so you're looking your best as you're going into the king. You have to look better than when you're sitting in your house. So even if you're sitting in your house, especially if you're having guests, you want to be you want to look sharp, you want to look good. But now that you're going to the palace, it's on a whole different level. And for sure over here, that when we're speaking about the Shekhinah rising, lagaba baila to her husband, that means she's rising into Atzilus, into the place where Hashem is fully manifest and revealed. It's called into the inner chambers of God, shubchina zad Atzilus, which is the six emotions of Atzilus, which are the husband of Malchus, which means the spherot that are above creation, where God's light is not dimmed at all, where Hashem is still in an infinite state. The spherot of Atzilus are infinite. So it's when the Malchut, the entity of Hashem, which is the speech of God, which is more engaged in the world, more constricted by the finitude and by the darkness of the world, is coming to re-engage with her husband, she needs to sparkle to be attractive to him, that he has to see her in the godly light. Shenikra Malka Kadisha, she's coming to see her holy husband, Kiyadua, as it is known. So it's example of a woman who's coming to her husband, that she adores herself with many ornaments, with many jewelry. And this is what's called over here, crowns. And this is just like our crowns that are made from sparkling and precious gems and sparkling stones. And as soon as that I put on a person's head, could they lit them, but to give to her, in halacha, it says that in the times of the temple, they used to wear the chasen and the kala, but mainly the kala, used to wear crowns by their wedding. And the crowns were full of jewels. And then by the time of the destruction of the temple, they minimized it. They took away these ateres chasanim and ateres ka. It used to be this way, that they mamish wore a crown. So we're talking about the Shechina dressing herself in her ornaments, where she dresses herself with these spiritual crowns that make her light up with a light and with a splendor, a charm that she needs to have to be that he should desire her, b'chdeisha yitimbala daitoy alaha, that her husband should give his mind upon her, b'roiv oizahava, with the intensity of the love, b'roiz oizahava, with the intensity of the love. Roiv oizva hadar, with the extra where we're holding over here. Roiv oizva ava, with the intensity of love, chiba yaseder, and added affection, velulea tarais, and if not for her jewelry, hayafis, of these beautiful crowns. It wouldn't turn him on to have a desire for her, and a desire for her, a love for her, and a desire for her. It's only, yeah.
Because even pretty women, if they don't feel like they're pretty, after a week or two, the guy's not interested anymore. Like, I feel like it also has to do with
Of course it has to do, but there's still a reason why there's jewelry. The jewelry is enhancing and bringing out the radiance of the person itself. Jewelry doesn't make a person, but the jewelry creates and brings out the sparkle that the person has, brings out the glow in the eyes, brings out the beauty of the person. So this is the idea that the Shechina, as she is rising upwards to find favor in Hashem's eyes, It's okay, good, yeah. Ach al yedei akshutin shema. Ach al yedei akshutin shema idim panel. But through the, it's interesting. He says, look, through the kishutin, through the jewelry, shema irin panel, that illuminate her face. Others, the jewelry needs to just bring out the person. If you overdo it and it's not bringing out the person, if you're noticing the jewelry and not the person, that's not it. But you have to notice the person, but the jewelry has to be there to enhance the person. So that is what awakens him in him, the desire of Vitaiva Allah and his desire for her. And that is the main idea of jewelry below. It's in order to awaken the desire of the husband. And the same is also above. In Malchus of Atzilus, in the cosmic woman, shenekras isha yiras Hashem, she's called the woman who fears God. Ki yadu, as it is known, bepidish eshes chayil. And the real meaning of when we speak about eshes chayil, the woman of valor, in addition to it meaning every woman, Shabbos we sing eshes chayil because we're celebrating our wives and the women. But this is also applies to the woman of all women, which is the Shechina. Shazau ina maimer. This is what it says. Another statement of the Zohar, which is it's not part of the Kagavna, but it's part of the Zemirot. It's part of the song of Friday night that the Arizal made. The Zohar was written by Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, but then there is a passage of Ari also for Friday night. And over there it says, Bikishutin Azla, with jewelry she goes, Umanin and Gar, and Umanin means Kalen, and which would mean in this case umanin, which means and utensils, but in this case would mean ulavushin and garments. So bikishutin, it means ornaments, and that's how she goes to be elevated to her husband. Pidish Mavadman and Ulavishim Tzitzrichun Tikkun Kanal, in addition to the kelim, to the vessels and the garments that need a tikkun, that need to be refined, Hinekadela Oyre Rebbeila, in order to awaken in her husband, Shubchen Zah, which is the Ze'er Anpin, which is a Kaddish Baruch Hu, that is higher than the world. It added the love and an added desire, which is called the longing of the man, of the male, lagabe nukva, to the woman, who it's through these kishutin, through these jewelry, which are these splendored crowns, which illuminate the face and illuminate the radiance of the face itself. This is what it says over here. She adorns herself with many crowns to her holy husband. That's interesting. He's going to say, now the Gufa Torah, the body of the Torah, of the crown, which is the substance of the crown, that is made out of precious gems, or margolios and jewels, or kiyotza, pearls, or whatever it is, yuvan kamoi ken lamayla, will also be understood. What does it mean above? That she, the Shechina, is bringing with her jewelry to her husband. Obviously, it can't be understood in the physical level. So what does that mean? Sha'atara nase gamkein. Oh, so what is the crown that she is bringing? She's bringing mipchenes habirurim d'reish peches. She's lifting stones. All the sparks of holiness, of the 288 sparks, which turn into billions of sparks, what she has collected during the week. Every neshama comes into this world. And as we get involved with the material thing, the lowly material things of this world, but then we use it for the service of God. So we extract the spark. That's a stone. That's a precious gem. It's a precious gem because it comes from the physical world. It comes from something that is matter and physical and earthy. And when we retrieve that and during the weekday, we're engaged. When we use every encounter that we have with whatever element of the world, humans, animal, plant, and even inanimate objects, and all these entities, that whatever we're Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, everything that we come into contact with, we find the godly intent in it. We reveal it. We use it for something higher, for something godly. That's a collection of all these sparks. It's precisely that adorns the Shekhinah, making her sparkle with the greater light that she has herself. In other words, let's translate it to our life. Our neshama, if our soul would come back to God, just clean and sparkly, come back our neshama on Shabbos, then there wouldn't be any desire of Hashem for our neshama. It's precisely our working during the week with the material gashmias of the world, with the physicality of the elements of this world, which we inserted into them a divine purpose. That is what creates on the neshama jewelry. Jewelry is taken from stones. Stones are much lower than the person. Yet it's precisely the stones that cause the human face to shine. But it's not regular stones. It's polished stones. You can't take thick and coarse stones, refined stones, stones that sparkle. So this is referring to the 288 sparks of holiness. From these refinement of the 288 sparks. Shenikra avanim, which are called stones, b'chinas domim, which are like the inanimate. Achla achar shenis bareru, but after they are elevated, nimshalu, they are compared, k'moy even toiv, they are compared to a precious stone, hameir, that is shining. It's like a diamond. It's not just a regular stone. A regular stone is dark, but a stone that is sparkling, it's a beautiful diamond. You look at it this way, that way. Now, why is it so amazing? Why are we so attracted to a beautiful stone? What is so special about it? Because it's a chiddush. What's the chiddush? Most stones don't shine. It's only how many of the stones that are in the world are precious gems? A fraction of a percent. It's a very big chiddush that something that is so, that should be coarse and dense, has such a light to it, has such a shine to it. This is a great chiddush. Shadoim meir kol kach, that the domim, the inanimate, shines so much. Al kein nasa la Torah. That's why it's placed as a crown al arosh, on the head. Atshema oidam, to the point that through their light, ya'ir gam hapanim, the face of the person is enhanced by the inanimate stone, because they're the chiddush. The fact that a human face shines, it's human. There's life there. There is wisdom there. There's not a human face has so much. But the fact that a stone sparkles, so when the stone sparkles, it's such a chiddush, and that chiddush enhances the face of the human as well, especially since it was the human who produced that shining stone. That's the idea. Definitely as it applies to the Shekhinah and as it applies to every soul that is a piece of the Shekhinah. Every week we come back, our week becomes our crown. That's the beautiful. Our work week. The stuff that we were, that during the week was just stuff. On Shabbos, that stuff, all those emails and all those correspondences. And all, if we don't lose God in that, quite on the contrary, we keep God alive in all those interactions that generally should obscure and make us forget about Hashem. And in those actions, we discover God, we reveal Him, we always are seeking the divine content of every experience. Then those very earthy experiences become our crown jewel on Shabbos. And v'gam ya'oyder b'mashpia. And two things. It will cause her face, the face of the Shekhinah, the cosmic Shekhinah, and every Shekhinah, every soul, to shine with a brighter light, and it will cause her husband, which this case is God, to desire that neshama and want to bring that neshama into an intimacy, which is what Shabbos is. It's the intimacy with Hashem that comes. V'gam ya'oyder b'mashpia. It will awaken in the mashpia, which is in Hashem, toisves ava, tosefes ava, an added love to that neshama canal. Keniskalel, like we said earlier, alke nesunim ala roish, and that's why, where do you put the crown? Jewelry, you can go all over the face, but the crown particularly goes on top of the head. Pchenas makif tafka, it rises above the head of the person in an encompassing level. Lefisha shoyresh hatayu gvayam pchenas atikun. Because this is really very powerful. We know that the source of all these fallen sparks, why are they so powerful? Why is it that Hashem is so excited when we extract and uncover the godliness of the material physical? All the mitzvahs are all about physicality. Why? Because we know that these sparks, although they are now embedded in a material, rough, thick, dense, non-godly world, but these energies really come from a super, super high level, higher than the entire system of holiness that radiates in the supernal world. Higher even than the Sefirot. The Sefirot, the attributes, are what's called Olam HaTikun, the world of Tikun. And the world of Tikun is a very limited world. I'm just going to make a little introduction to explain this. So in Kabbalah, it says like this, that initially when Hashem originally emanated light in order to energy to create the world, He emanated powerful energies, super, super powerful energies. And let's look at them as spherot, attributes. But those attributes were so powerful and so strong that the vessels that were supposed to hold them couldn't handle them, and they shattered. And therefore those original lights that were contained in those vessels went back into their source. But we have those vessels shattered. Then what Hashem did was he controlled Himself, so to speak, and He emanated a much weaker light with a set of vessels that were able to contain it. And with that new set of vessels and with that new light, he manifests and reveals Himself throughout all the worlds and creates the creation. But the lower worlds, they are created through the energy coming from the world of Tikkun, from this new light, coming through the Sefirot. But Hashem integrated the debris, the broken pieces from the world of Tov, and that's what makes up all the material things. But because they're broken, they fall into the category of the dark side. They have utterly ignorant from God. they're disconnected, and they can even turn out to be forces of darkness and evil and destruction and of terrorism and of darkness and all kinds of whatever is ugly in this world. And why they're so powerful is because they have these sparks from this world, from this ancient world of Toyo, that is much higher than the entire world of Atsilus and all the emanation of all the Sefirot throughout all the world. When we dive, we go mining deep, deep under the ground, when Hashem takes a neshama, our souls are from the world of Tikkun, from the world, from the second order, which is a rectified world. But when we put on the mining clothing and we get dirty during the week, we get ourselves invested and involved in the dark elements of this world. And we seek out the godly in it. That's the idea of removing the klipot, removing the shells, extracting those sparks. Those sparks are higher than the source of the neshama. Because the neshama is sourced in tikkun, not in tohu. These fallen sparks are sourced in the world of tohu. So when we retrieve these sparks, when we retrieve these sparks and they become a crown, they become a crown over the neshama, atop of the head of the soul, because they're attached to such intense, infinite lights, which are even higher than the neshama. That knows the things we fix have a higher source than the fixer, than the person that's fixing it. What?
The ones on the ground are the ones before the vessel.
That's right. They're connected to the first vessels, which are. And that's the reason why they're so precious. And they also sit on top of the head of the because the root of Tohu is higher than the world of Tikkun. As it is known, also regarding the reason, why is it that Hashem made it that we see this even in just physical dynamics. That humans, which are the highest, most sophisticated, most intelligent being, is so needy, and the only way he or she can sustain themselves is through plants and animal, which is lower than the person. So you have to say, because deep inside they're higher than the person. They're just fallen, and they landed in a more constricted, darker place. But they really have within themselves potent energies that are higher than the human soul. So when the human gets involved and engaged with these things and extracts those energies, they enhance. And it's interesting. They enhance us to give us life. That's to everybody. Whether you're eating with higher intention, whether you're not eating in higher intention, if you eat, when you eat, you live. When you don't eat, you don't live. So you see, it always enhances. But the chiddush over here is, the novelty is that they even enhance spiritual life. A person can pray much better, not just because after they eat, not just because they're not hungry, but because there's something about the food, if you eat correctly, that can add more powerful illumination in your spirituality, in your experience of God, much stronger than your neshama's capacity on its own. That's where Rabbi Nachman said that I couldn't answer. When they once asked Rabbi Nachman a question in Torah, and he didn't answer, the next morning he answered. And Rabbi Nachman said, the reason I didn't answer last night was because I didn't eat yet beef. Because I didn't eat the beef yet, I couldn't answer. So what do you see from here? That the beef can add spirituality to the person's mind. The same is also a potato. And the same is also green beans or anything, because they have these fallen sparks. We see that the plant enlivens the human being. Rabbi Nachman says, this is Rabbi Nachman from the Torah, like meaning Rabbi Nachman from the Gemara. I couldn't answer this question until I ate meat from an animal. What your custom of makam acher is stated elsewhere, meaning in Tanya. Like it says elsewhere, be'inyan beer inyan koishak sarim lekoinai. It says, interesting. It says that there's a malach called malach sandalphon and malach metatron, I think. I don't remember which one it says it about it. That ties crowns, that makes crowns from the prayers of the Jewish people. So what's interesting is, when the Malach makes crowns and it goes on Hashem's head, the crowns that from our prayers. So what's so amazing is what Chassidus explains is why does the prayer become a crown? Not because of the prayer itself. Prayer itself, why should it be a crown on Hashem? Anything, the prayer is us asking him for something. Why does that become a crown? It's not the prayer. It's the substance of the energy that makes up your prayers. We would think the lowliest, darkest thing of our prayers is that prayers are made up of chicken. Prayers are made up of crackers. Prayers are made up of salad and vegetables. Why? Because everything we ate yesterday becomes energy today. And when we pray, hopefully, and prayer is supposed to be with energy, we are expending energy. We are burning calories into the prayer. And those cucumbers or those, whatever it is, radishes, become ashrei. And we would think, oi, nebach to ashrei, that it has to be made out of avocado and chicken and whatever you ate. Your food that you ate yesterday becomes your prayers today. And that would be like, okay, I wish God doesn't see that because like it's like ugly. Or like, no. He says that's what makes it a crown. Because it's precisely in those physical elements that you're burning up into the you're elevating those things from being separated, from being disconnected from God, from the shattered state, and you're bringing it into Shema Yisrael, into the Yachad, into the unity, then you're elevating those sparks, and those sparks become the most attractive because they even go above Hashem's head. When we say they go above Hashem's head, they go above Hashem as he is manifesting in the world of Tikkun. That's already a very limited, measured godliness. It goes above his head because it comes from the world of Toh, where everything is expansive and infinite. It becomes Hashem's crown. And that's the deep idea in Yenkoyshe Ksarim Lekoinoi, that the Malach ties crowns to Hashem's head. V'day lamev. V'ach Hashem Malchus misateres be'itrin d'reish peches. After the Malchus on Friday night. So when do these crowns actually go up on the head of the Shekhinah? During the week, she's just collecting these sparks in a bag. When does she arrange them and put it on her head to be a sparkling crown? Friday night. And then what happens after she becomes adorned with these crowns of the 288 sparks? Azai Memela, then automatically, what does the Zohar say? She crowns herself with crowns. And then what happens? V'chol Mare Dedina and all the V'chol Shultune Rugzin and all the powers of wrath, and all the Marei Dedina and all the adversaries and all these things, Kulin Arkin, they all run away from her. Why is that? Azei Memela, then automatically, Ein Makoim Liyanikas HaChitzonim Klal Oklal. There's no place for the Chitzonim, for the dark forces, to derive energy from the Shekhinah. We know the Shekhinah is always surrounded by all kinds of parasites. You ever feel really bad when you go to a farm and you see how animals are always constantly attacked by like buzzing, flies are all over them. A horse, for instance, can't stand it. They're always shaking themselves. They're all buzzing next to these animals. Sadly, the Shekhinah has these buzzing parasites that are continuously attacking her because she's, as she comes down to enliven the worlds, the dark forces want to derive energy and they're constantly at her, like mosquitoes, to try to suck her blood. But she's only vulnerable to that during the week. As it comes Shabbos, and she's rising to be reunited with her husband, and as soon as she puts on the crowns, all the klipas run for their life. Why? Because she suddenly looks so royal and so godly, they're terrified. They can only approach her when she's dressing up more like a commoner. Then when she descends during the week, and I'll put it this way, when can the Yetzer Hara come to a person? Let's take our own Yetzirah, our own parasites that keep on hitting us with a desire to sin, a desire to do this. It's like the buzzing. These are these parasites that try to drain our spiritual energy into all kinds of nourishkeit. When do they come to us? When we are dressed in a material setting. When we're looking like we're entering into regular daily living, and our unique godly Jewishness, our godly higher self is not visible. We're coming down and descending to this world as a regular human being to be part. Then, you know, the klipa thinks, okay, now you're game for me to get at you. But as soon as she dresses up in royal clothing with her crowns and stuff like she's going to the king, they're terrified. So, ein makom malikas achitzanim klal klal. There's no room for the chitzanim to come at all. Ki ein lem makom v'sherish. They have no place and no root. Rak mepchenes acharayim the shem ban. Only from the backside of the name of ban. Ban is the name of the shechina, which is ban is 52, and 52 is yutke vavke. When you fill the yutke vavke, the tetragrammaton, God's name equals 26. But when you add the hidden letters. The yud is yud vav dalid, and you add the hey is hey hey. So then it's called miloy heyin. You fill the yud kei vav kei with heys, you get 52. That name of Hashem is particularly the name of God as He's manifest in malchut in the shechin, shem ban. When we say that the chitzonim can take energy from the shechina, it's only from the external of shem ban, not from the pnimius, not from the inside, from the outside of it. So during the weekday, when she's lowering herself down into a chitzonia state, into external state, they have access to her. But when she's leaving and she's dressing herself up to go to a wedding, to go to a ballroom, she's not wearing jeans then. She's wearing royal clothing. That's the pnimius. She's facing upward. She's not facing downward. They all run away. Shasham nafal reish peches netzutzen. That's where the 288 sparks have fallen into the acharayim of the name Ban. That's where the sparks are, the sparks that have fallen. But now she's retrieved whatever she retrieved from those sparks, and she's bringing them from the external world into the pnimius. And over there, there's no more. V'zeu she'amar, and this is what it says, v'chol shutani rugzin, and all these powers of wrath, umar edinin, and entities of judgment, arkin mina, they run away from her, they escape, they run for their life, they hit them for the hills, the Dalai Maven, and is enough to those who understand. And then it says, Gvald, Vaanapani Hidin Binahidi Allah, and her face is shining with a supernal light. And that's referring to every neshama on Friday night. Their faces start glowing with a light. That if we would be able to see what the Baal Shem Tov saw when he looked at a Jew's face on Friday night, imagine that. What the Rebbe sees on a Yid's face on Friday night. Friday night is such a glow because the Shekhinah is shining with such blinding light. And her face is shining with an otherworldly, exactly is translated with a elevated shine. So what does that mean? Piddish. After she becomes crowned with these crowns. Which they are made. What is a crown made up, like we spoke earlier, from the stones and the gems, which are these sparks of holiness of the 288 sparks that we've elevated. So now her face, this brings out her light. Like we said earlier, and now what it says even more, her face is shining. With a higher illumination. At first glance, ha'aris pranim. Why is it called with a higher radiance? Her light is not coming from the higher, it's coming from the lower. Since we polished the world, and we said before, that's a chidush, that's such a novelty. So where is the light coming from? It's coming from these sparks that were extracted from below. So it should say her face is shining with the light from below. Instead, it says her face is shining with Nehira Ilah, with a higher light, a light coming from above. Why is that? So he explains, the radiance of the face, it's coming from the birur, from the refinement of the material physical things that we engaged with during the week. It's not coming from above. Why does it say that it's coming from? It's a higher illuminance. The idea will be understood. Take a look how the Eibishter is so kind to us. Take a look how God is doing such unbelievable kindness. I had no idea. I'm sorry. I didn't prepare this class. I never learned the part that we're learning. This is my first time in my life I'm learning this. And the Eibishter made for me a nice surprise. Why? Because he says, we'll understand this whole idea by understanding the concept of Birkas Kohanim, of the blessings of the Kohen, which we know the blessings of the Kohen is this week's Parsha, Parshas Nasai. So even we like to learn Chassidus on the Parsha, and here the Eibishter gave that. Dafka learned this piece, he's explaining Birkat Kohanim, the blessings that the Kohanim give. We know that the idea of Birkas Kohanim is to draw down the Kohen as a special power in his neshama, that he can bring down the luminance, the aras panim, the light of the face, bimalchus, whose face? The face of the Ein Sof, the face of Keter, of the crown, the innermost of the Ein Sof, the Kohen is able to illuminate that into Malchus, into the Shekhinah, b'yud gimel midoy sarachmim al yoinim, coming from the 13 attributes of mercy, which is the lights of Keser, which is called the supernal face, the higher face above. The Kohen is able to, how do we see that that's part of Birkas Kohanim? What do we say in Birkas Kohanim? Yo'er Hashem panav elecha. Hashem should shine his face to you. V'chuneka, he should give you chen. That means, how is she getting chen? How are the, when we say to you, who are we blessing? The Jewish people. The Jewish people are all part of Malchus, part of the Shekhinah. So we're saying, when he will radiate his light to her, she will reflect that light. V'chuneka, and she will have chen. So this is not a light coming from below. This is a reflecting light coming from him to her. And he's now I think what it means, again, I didn't learn this yet, is that almost like he's looking into a mirror by looking at her. He sees his light through looking at her. This is a light coming from the Mashpia, from him to her, and she's reflecting back to him. I'm guessing, let's see if I'm right. So that's the idea of, I'm a Kohen, so maybe I have a hunch on this. Yod Hashem panav elecha b'malchus, yud gimel midas harachmim al yoinim, of the 13 attributes. K'ma shakasa b'zoyar al pasik, like it says in Zohar on the pasik. V'chasidecha yivarchucha. Ay. In the Zohar on the pasuk of Ashrei, which we say three times a day in our prayers, one of the psukim we say, one of the verses we say, v'chasidecha, and your pious ones, your chasidim, your yivarchucha, they will bless you. So the Zohar says, the meaning of the word yivarchucha is yivarchu ko. They will bless ko. Yivarchu ko. They will bless ko. What does it mean they will bless ko? Malchus is called ko. Why? What do all the prophecies start with? Most of the prophecies. Ko amar Hashem. So Malchus, which is amar Hashem, Hashem speaking, is called koi. Chaf hei. Why? Because Malchus is the lowest level of God. And God is already translating. What does ko mean? What's the difference between zeh and in Chassidus? There's a lot of discussion. What's the difference between zeh and ko? The sages say that all the sages, when they said prophecy, they said ko, they only used ko amar Hashem. Moshe said zeh hadavar. What's the difference? Zeh means clarity. This is it. Ko means something like this. I had a vision. I don't know exactly what I saw, but something like this I saw. So a blurry vision is called ko. A clear, crisp, absolute, when you see the essence, it's called zeh. Malchus, her entire level is already a distortion on Hashem's absolute truth. Because what does Malchus do? Malchus means kingship, creates worlds. Malchus, by her very definition, is a blur on the truth. Because the truth is there can't be any worlds. The truth is that God is reality. He is the only thing that is a thing. There's nothing else but him. Malchus blocks and hides that and creates this illusion and gives us a sense of independent existence as if we're something else. That's why the Malchus is the purpose of everything, because that's where God gets entertained. Where everything is only him, there's no entertainment. But when we feel ourselves like someone else and we live in this construct, Malchus creates the construct of Ko. That's one of the reasons why Malchus is called Ko. Because it's something, it's Malchus is godly, it's divine, but it's already a blurry godliness. That's why Malchus needs to be blessed. Why? Because her light is very dim. Blessing her light, blessing her means bringing more light, illuminating Malchus, shining more, bringing clarity into what happens Friday night. During the week, the world is dark. Malchus that creates the world is very constricted. The worlds feel very separated from Hashem. Everything feels dark. Comes Friday night, there is light shining into Malchus. There is illumination. She's having an intimacy with her husband. That means the truth of the Sefirot that are above Malchus are now translated into Malchus. She's receiving the Emes, the full truth of Hashem. And she's receiving the Zeh into the Kol. Get the idea? Yeah, all the spheres above Malchus are called Zeh. Malchus is called Ko. Yeah, it's you're seeing it as it is. That's why it says Moshe. He said when he said Nevuah, he was tapping into a level higher than Malchus. He saw the ultimate emes of God, the pnimius of Hashem. The rest of the prophets got a godly transmission, but from a more concealed state. What is the idea of the Kohanim? The idea of the Kohanim is to, when they give a blessing, they have an incredible download power, the Kohanim, to bring down from Keser, which is above all the spheros, from the infinite inner boundless light of Hashem, to bring that down, to download it into Malchus. Kohanim are called Chasidecha. Why Kohanim called Chasidecha? Because the root energy of where the Kohanim come from is from Chesed. Kohanim's neshamas, the souls of Kohanim, are all on the side of Chesed. That's why they're blessers. They're the ones who bless. Chesed is kindness, it's blessing. So Kohanim come from Chesed. The Chasidecha and your Chasidim, your Kohanim, Yivorchu, they will bless. Ko, they bless Malchus. Birkas Kohanim is to shine down extra luminant light on Malchus. Now let's think about it. We in Chutz La'aretz, we only say Birkat Kohanim on the Chagim, on the Shalosh Regalim, on the three pillars. Why? Because all year long we live in kind of darkness. And when we get on special on a Yom Tov, it's a time of Simcha, we are ready to receive this extra luminance, a dosage of light downloaded by the Kohanim to illuminate the Shechina with added light. Okay. So that's the concept of Birchas Kohanim. Let's see. One of my things I do, one of my Meshagas, it's not a Meshagas, I think it's very special. Every time I go to New York, I try to go to the Rebbe's Minyan, be there by Birchas Kohanim, even if there's no official Birchas Kohanim, and I try to say along with the Chazan, because I'm a Kohen, I do Bir, and my Kavana is Yevarchu Ko. To bless the king, to bless Malchus, to draw down Hamshacha into Malchus. Yeah. The Hainu, the Pchinas Malchus, comes out the Iker Birchas Kohanim is to Malchus. The Hainu, the Pchinas Malchus, to the level of Malchus, Shenikra Ko, which is called Ko, Ki Yadu, as it is known. And that's why the worlds were created. What's the first, since the world, it says in Chassidus, since the worlds are a product of Malchus, what's the birthday of the world? Anybody know? The real birthday of the world. Chafei Elul. Ko. 20. It's so funny how God starts creation on the 25th day of the calendar. It's like, wouldn't you start on day one? No. Rosh Hashanah is day one of the next month. But why? Because it's a Ko is 25. And the reason of the matter is as follows. Malchus needs to receive more radiance, mikol ha-sfirois, from all the spheroids, v'har partzufim al-yayinim. She is the most needy from all the higher sefirot and all the higher configurations. She needs to receive, well, li-yoysa, b'chenes achroinu, she-bekulam. because she's at the very, very tippy end. She's, who needs a bracha? When a person goes down to a difficult place, when a person is traveling to Shlichut, and they're going to a place, my son goes to Alaska, he goes to a corner, dark corner of the world, everybody gives him a bracha. Here's a big bracha, you should have atzlach. It's like the farther you're going to a darker place, the more constricted you are, the more necessary you need that blessing. When does it, it says before a neshama comes into this world, the neshama is blessed. Before a big tzaddik is sent down into this world, a big neshama, all the tzaddikim come and bless the neshama, they should be successful in their shlichas. That's the point. So Malchus, because she's the very, very end, end, she needs the blessing more than anybody else. She's called the end of all levels. The Gamini, he mistateres bibiya. She also hides and becomes concealed in the three lower worlds. Malchus becomes obscured. Not only, number one, she's the last from all the spheres. Secondly, she actually goes down into the real darkness. Descending down lower and lower. She goes down so low till she gets, God forbid, hacked by hackers who try to hack into Malchus and steal her energy. Especially when she comes down to create not just the world of Bria, not just the world of Yetzira, the world of formation, but even to create the world of Asiya, the material world. Like it says, her kingship is Malchusa in his king, in his kingdom, he dominated over everything. And like it says, Chivya the nukva, the snake katir. I don't know what katir means over here, or bonds. I think it wraps itself around the feet of the female. It's like you see by Chava that the snake didn't come up to Adam, because Adam represents a higher level. Chava, the snake messes with Chava, primarily her feet. So that's what it says. And it says, to the entrance of sin, rovates. He crouches. The klipas are there. When the Shechina comes down, all the klipas seek to like attack her. And her feet go down, chulu, to a place of death. That's what it says, that her feet go down into death. That's why she needs added light from above. So that her light should not go dark completely. She needs extra strength. Because she's going to deal with so much darkness coming from the chitzonim, she needs extra empowerment that she should be able to go down and come back safely. And we know that the moon has a pagam. Pagima salavana. The moon, we know that the moon was made small. It has all to do with the idea that it's a pagam in the moon. There is a blemish in the moon. It's like someone who's going into a very dark room or a very dark cellar or going through a dark forest. They have to take along an extra lantern. The darker the place you're going, the more important to have a good flashlight. They need a more powerful avuka, a torch, a lamp, to illuminate the thick darkness. And that's the reason, for example, we spoke about this on Tuesday night, the reason why the biggest lights of Torah are given to our generation, because we're going to the darkest places. In the end of days, we needed the Baal Shem Tov. We needed, like we said from Rebunim of Shischa, the sicker the patient, the bigger the doctor. The greater tzaddikim had to come dafka to illuminate in these very dark moments before Mashiach comes. So it's the same idea. During the time of the weekday, so all the days of the week, who gives this illuminance to Malchus, the Kohanim? When they bless Yevarchu Ko, when they give Berchas Kohanim, they give her heavy dosages of light. They deliver, they draw down powerful downloads of light from Keser into Malchus. Ba'amram Ya'er Hashem Panav Elecha. The Eibish that should illuminate his face to you. The Chol Yisrael, but why are we saying it to the Jewish people? Because all Jewish neshamas are all products of Malchus, or children of Malchus. The Chol Yisrael B'nei Malachim Hem. And all the Jewish people are children of kings, which is Malchus. Mipchenas Malchus. They come from Malchus. V'atam, and the reason why. So we explained why, where the target is, where we need to download it to. We have to download the blessing to Malchus. Now he's going to explain from where we need to download it. We have to download it from Keser. From where? From Erech Anpin. V'atam shemepchenas Erech Anpin. Why is it that we draw the blessing from Keser, from the long face? Which means it's not enough to bring the light from Ze'er Anpin, even though Ze'er Anpin is also higher than Malchus. It's not enough. We have to go all the way up to Erech Anpin, all the way above, to bring the Malchus. Dafka Bozai Sa'ara, comes this illuminance. Lefi Shemipnei Oitzem HaChoshech, because of the intensity of the darkness. Tzarech Shayava Ya'ar Dafka Mamakam HaYoser Elyon. So since we're going down so low, we need to draw the light from a place much higher. Hameir B'Yoser, where there is very, very brilliant light. You see, the light of Atzilus, the light of Chachma, is already limited. The lights of Keser are limitless. From there, we need to give heavy dosages of light to Malchus. She should be able to descend. But this is during the weekday. But when Malchus turns around, then she starts going up from the weekday to Shabbos. Yesh kam b'chinas ha'odes panim b'malchus. Now Malchus is shining with what? Mitzad b'chinas ha'kishutim. Now she's shining from her jewelry, like we said earlier. She's shining with a light coming, not from above. She's shining with a light coming from below. No mata l'mayla. She's bringing the light up from the jewels, from the sparks that she's elevated, right? Kinis kalel, like we said earlier. The elevation of the sparks that are coming from the 288 fallen sparks, kines kaliel, the oz, and then gam pchenas ha'odes panim the erech anpin b'malchus. So then the luminance of erech anpin that's coming to malchus, shenikra nehira yelah, which is called supernal light, meir ba mepchenas apnimius yoser, is shining from a more internal place of the keser. So what's going on over here is like this. All week long, she's being dosed by these lights. But when is it really, really, really lighting up her face? When she comes back successful from a week of success, with full of the accomplishments and elevations that we've elevated during the week. And now the lights from below are meeting the lights from above. The combination of these two lights together cause an extra, and more than that, since Hashem is getting excited, since that she's coming to him with such accomplishment, it opens him up too, that he is shining from a deeper place to her as well. So it's not the very light from, you know, the Birchas Kohanim, in a sense, that's happening on Friday night is much deeper, even though we don't say Birchas Kohanim, but the concept is coming from a much deeper, higher level, inner level, more than what is available during the week. The it's like, you know, you're sending someone on a mission, you give them empowerment to go out into that mission, you give them brachas, but when they come back and they're successful and you give them thank you for doing whatever that mission was, it's coming from a deeper place. It's not just, I'm empowering you to do it, I don't know how you're going to do. Now that you've been successful and you've done something for me, it's like, it's a whole different story. You meet the one who sent you before you go out, and then, like the chassid goes on shlichus, the Rebbe gives him blessings, but when he comes back and reports, and he's so successful, the illuminance and the radiance is much deeper.
Why do you have to report? I never understood that, but I feel
it keeps our communication, and we find that by Moshe with Hashem too, that when Rashi says that when Hashem sent Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to the Jewish people, it says Moshe went back and told Hashem what the Jewish people said. The Eibishter there is everywhere. And yet Moshe went back to tell Hashem, report. And the Chazal learned out from him that you always have to report to the one who sent you. So, and this is called Nesias Chen. And this is called finding charm. I guess finding charm is when she comes with her crown, she finds chen. He finds her charming, and by him finding her charming, that draws him, his love for her, his affection for her, from a much deeper place. So like we find by Esther, for example, when she came to Ahasuerus, Tachsiv, before that says, Vatisa chen, whoever looked at her saw chen. As it says that the woman is here liyofi for beauty. She brings beauty to the world. And like the nature that Hashem put regarding women, that they are better looking than the male. Mishnei Sibais. This comes, women are generally more attractive than men are. So why is that? You see, everything is in Chassidus. Chassidus, this is the Chassidic explanation of why women are attractive more than men. And the reason is, Echon Mitzad Riboy Damim Temeim Gvaldik. Because a woman has more blood. We see that the woman, meaning a man doesn't have a period for man. Man has the blood that runs in his limb, but there's no excessive blood. By the woman, there is more. And it brings impurity. But ikashem is batarim, but when that is refined and elevated, meyapim upon him. It beautifies the face. Related to the idea that we said earlier, dafka the malchus, because she goes down and there's yinikas achitzonim and the darkness and the running of blood and all that. When all of that is fixed, Babez, Litzad Oitzim Katnus Madreges. Babez in the second reading, Litzad Oitzim Katnus Madregosa. Because the level of Malchus, the level of woman, is the most constricted. Kichamas Maltepia Maladam. Nitin Ba Ha'oras Panem Umaila. Because there is such a constriction in Malchus, and the woman represents, and she's the embodiment of Malchus, and she's so representing the most limited of limited, and since the purpose is dafka in that constriction, in that limitation, that's where God's desire is more than anything. So the Eibishter wants the woman to be most attractive than anything else. Nitin ba, the Eibishter places in her ha'ores panem al mayla, a godly beauty is put onto the woman, kedei she'yahakol ratzim achra, that everybody should chase after her, meaning, obviously, the kosher element of chasing after the woman, that the man should seek out a wife, and that every man should seek out a woman to marry. We're not talking about over here chasing, God forbid, for women just for the sake of chasing women. But the idea of that the man should want to get married. And so the Eibishter God put an excessive beauty of his radiance into the woman. So there should be a desire for her. Fine. Now how you apply that to above as well, Yuvan Lamaska Lamaila will be understood to those who understand above. Bepchenas Isha Al Yoina, the supernal woman above, She'ena Ela LeYoifi, she's here to be as an attraction to God. LeKabala Ares Panem Al Maila, to receive that luminance of Hashem's light that he's shining down upon her. Betzad Bechenas Abirudim, because of the blood that we said, as it applies to the Shechina, it's Dalid. The hay damim tameim, shenim shechul chitzaynim umizbarim. The Shechina also has the idea we know regarding the laws of nida. It's the whole element of nida is related to five, because malchus is so full of gevura, full of restriction. So she has, and since the power of Gevura is five, the Arhei Gevurot, five Gevurot. That's why in the laws of Nida, there are five different types of blood for a woman that are Tameh, that are impure. If Masechtas Nida, the Gemara goes through five color kind of blood or whatever that is considered impure. So just like it is in the physical down here, because every Hashem created everything in the physical to match the divine, so it is in the supernal woman above. There are five gevurot, which excessive gevura is when it's too much gevura, what happens? It becomes a source for tuma, which means a source of life that goes to the chitzonim, goes to the dark forces. It sustains them and creates them. Umetzad, but when that is fixed, you hear? When that is fixed, it creates such chen, it creates such a, because in that darkness lies the ultimate purpose. Because Malchus is so infinitesimally small compared to the other spheres, the Eibishter had to charm her up that she should be attractive, that everything should flow towards her. But all of this is during the time that Malchus goes down to fix and to rectify the world. Like the thorn that goes, like the rose that's amongst the thorns. Stated elsewhere. After the conclusion of all these birudim, it says, Shekar achein, false is the charm. The hevel ayoifi, and silly is the beauty. Isha yiras Hashem, the woman that fears God, he tisalo, she is praised. Tahayna, what does that mean? This whole necessity of her being, there must be a lot to unpack in this few lines that what he's saying over here. This is that there's two elements in the value and in the primary significance of the woman. When she is going down into the darkness, when the Shekhinah is descending into the world, then the chain and the yofi is very, very important for her, the charm and the beauty. Why? Because she's given that charm and that beauty intentionally because she's in such a dark and low place. So in order that she keeps the attraction of the Ein Sof down into that, so that's why Hashem beautifies her with a godly beauty. But once she returns, then her value switches from that and it becomes Isha Yiras Hashem. Which means, what does that mean? When Malchus rises up into Keser, then it says the woman of valor, Ateres Barlo, she's the crown of her husband. She rises higher than all the Sefirot. She rises all the way up into Keser. The Chenks of it says, Evan Ma'asu Aboinim, the stone that everybody rejected. Hoysol Erosh Pina, the stone is referring to Malchus, that everybody rejected, meaning it's the lowest of all the Sefirot. Everybody did. But what? Hoysol Erosh Pina, she becomes the cornerstone. She goes higher than everything. For us, and Ikra Isha Yiras Hashem, then she's called the woman that fears God. Lamaila Min HaChachma, she's higher than Chachma. Shubchinas Yirei Allah, which is the supernal fear. Chachma is a state of the fear. She's even higher than the supernal fear. He tisalo, then she's praying. V'dayla Mevin, he doesn't give much understanding of what this transition means. I don't know what this means. This needs some deeper exploration of what is the difference of the woman when she needs the beauty to have that, when her value is the beauty and the charm, versus the Isha Yiras Hashem, which comes afterwards, after her Aliyah. Does that mean the beauty goes away? No, it becomes insignificant, and something much deeper about the woman's soul is revealed. And that is the Yirat Hashem, what is the penimius of Yirat Hashem, is her bittul and her complete nullification to the Ein Sof. And that is a much greater quality than all the charm and beauty that she had when she was not in that bittul, and she needed the charm and the beauty. Now she has something much deeper than that. And that's why on Friday night, we say, Shekar achein vehevel ayoyfi isha yiras Hashem itisal. But hold it, but at the same time, she comes with her ornaments. So how do you reconcile. Yes. Yes. Only two?
When you said for us, when you have children, it becomes bad. It makes me think of people who work for you and they are so strict that like they lose everything. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
Okay. Second question is if
you let me put it this way. You can have a lot of frum kites. It's okay. But you have to, but if you have a lot of frum kite, you have to have a whole lot of chassidus. That's flowing in you. And the frum kites, and these are all then become, they don't become the thing. They're part of the joy and the happiness of your relationship with God. As opposed to all you have at those knots. And then it becomes, then it's Rabbi Hillel Paracher or the great Hasidim were very, very, very frum. But you didn't, when you were around them, you didn't feel a person that's very frum. You felt a person who is godly and is in love with God and is in. So what I'm saying? Yes.
Okay, yes. Question is, if when you quote unquote, you need diamonds, we're pretty because you're far away, then why need that you have to be more covered?
What? Because it's the time that she has to be merachok.
Can.
Yeah. Yo, be yofi. So it's like a tension. The isatar aslasata, and then she becomes crowned below ba'ama kadisha. Okay, I feel like this piece that we just read needs more clarification, more understanding. I hope I am going to be able to get back to this at some time to work it out a little better. I feel like very, very unsatisfied with this last piece that we learned. And it becomes crowned below in the holy people. What does that mean? And everybody becomes crowned with a new neshama. With a new neshama, that's called neshama yesera, the extra neshama that we get on Shabbos. Even though he already mentioned the crowns that Malchus crowns herself, the Gaba Malka Kadisha towards her husband, towards Malka Kadisha, towards the Holy King, Chazar Kan Loimar. Now he repeats again, she becomes crowned again. Because earlier he spoke about the essence of the crowns, Shem Nasim and Abirudim, the Reish Peches, which are made up of the 200 of the refinements of the world that we discussed earlier, of the 288 sparks, Shem Maisa Mitzvahs, which in our lives mean from the deed of mitzvah, from the tzedakah that we gave, from the every mitzvah that we did during the week, if we visited the sick, or if we put out tefillin, or did this mitzvah or that mitzvah. Vahatshuva, and from the repentance that we did during the week. The hatfila, and the prayers that we did. Ukiyoitza, that's all elevating the world. All of that elevates the 288 sparks. And that's the first crowns that we spoke earlier. The Ainola, Pacha Chashoichalinohoiro, which is to convert darkness to light. The Kan Medaber, and now he's speaking about Bemisha Oisin La Tarasalalu. Who are the, now he's speaking about those who make these crowns. The artists who produce the crowns. Behind the neshamas Yisrael dafka, it's the souls of Israel. Ki goisha asa mitzvah, because the Gentile, if he does a mitzvah, einoy klum, it doesn't have this effect. It doesn't create this dynamic. The final lefishi Yisrael olu b'machshava, it takes a Jewish soul to do a mitzvah, because the souls of Israel have arisen in Hashem's thought. Kiyadu on a very high place. Like it says, a piece of God is his people. A portion of God is his people. And if so, so since it is all these crowns that the Shekhinah gets adorned with are crowns that the souls, that all her army, who's the army of the Shekhinah? Who are all the agents of the Shekhinah that can make crowns, that can elevate sparks, are souls of Israel. And they're the ones who bring the crowns to the mother of, to their mother, which is the Shekhinah, to the mother of all souls. Wow. So then Malchus adorns herself not only with the crowns, but with the artists of the crowns. The crown makers become part of her crown. So there's two parts to her crown, the Shekhinah. One element that the Shekhinah, one element that the Shekhinah, what's it called again? One element that the Shekhinah adorns herself is with the sparks of holiness themselves. With the sparks of holiness themselves, they are elevated. The sparks themselves become the crown. In addition to that, the souls of Israel themselves, the souls of Israel themselves are now included. this is part of the crown making. The souls of Israel themselves become included in the crown. It says, "Hare gam benishmas Yisrael misateres amalchus." Malchus ornates herself also with the souls. Ba'aloisa milavushim dechol Shabbos. When she rises from the garments of weekday to Shabbos, she's adorned with the souls itself. Ach, sha'atores shanasa lo benishmas Yisrael. The crowns that become to her from the souls of Israel is atados latata, become our crowns below. What does that mean? Tahainu. Tes sfiris shaba shemislap shem bibiya. Her nine sfirot that become enclosed in biya. Wow. It's gavaldic. Shh. Wow. The crowns of the Shekhinah that the Shekhinah brings up have two parts to it. The sparks of holiness itself, of the Torah, the mitzvahs, the tshuva, everything that has done, that we've taken the matter of this world and converted it to sparkle for God. That's one level of the crown. Those are the crowns themselves. Now, part of the beauty of the crowns is the tag that's on the crown, or the sign that's the signature of the artist that's on the crown. Part of a piece of artwork is the artwork and the what? What else do you usually put on an artwork? The artist signed off, put their autograph on it. So the souls of Israel that produced the crowns, their autograph is on the crown. Now, but here's into this. Which one is more precious? So we say like this: the higher part of the Shekhinah, the part of the Shekhinah that is in Atzilus, that is unified with her husband, the Keser of the Shekhinah, the crown of the Shekhinah, is made up, gets adorned with what? With the sparks of holiness that we've elevated. The lower nine sefirot of the Shekhinah. During the week when she goes down into the world, her nine sefirot go down. So the lower nine sefirot of the meaning from Keser and down, not Keser. Chachma, Bina, Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus of Malchus, Those nine spherot go down into the world. Those elements of the Shekhinah that went down into the world to fix and to create, that which she invests in the creation, that becomes adorned with the artists. In other words, the crown of the Shekhinah is being is shining with the lights of the sparks themselves. It's like the piece of art. What you're mainly celebrating is the art. And then to that, there's also the autograph of the artist. That's a secondary. So the crown that the Shekhinah becomes adorned with the neshamas themselves is the nine elements of the Shekhinah that go down into the creation. Very, very interesting. Fascinating. That's why it says, V'isatoras letata, she becomes adorned. Ba'ama kadish. I never understood this. She becomes adorned below, which means her lower side becomes decorated. Ba'ama kadisha with the holy people who made her because she comes up and she says to Hashem, look at my crown, look at all the mitzvahs, and look who made it. Attached to the Shekhinah are the holy nation. The souls of Israel that produced the crown, they're all ornaments, they're attached to the, but they're connected to the lower part of the Shekhinah. And the Torah and the mitzvahs, they're the crown of the crown. Ach b'chinas kesa sheba, the crown, na'asa ha'Torah me'etzem habirurim. That happens from the essence of the refinement. The Reish Peches of the 288, Shenim Shulo Avonim Toivis, that is compared to precious jewels and gems, Keniskalia, like we said earlier. Wow. And then it says, Vikulon Misatrin, and all of them, which is referring back to the souls, they become adorned Binishmasim Chadatin with a new neshama. What does that mean? The idea of the added neshama. This is the crown that's on top of the head. They all become crowned with a new neshama. The Inyan who, what does that mean? It's explained in Eitz Chaim. The b'chinas yechida shebenefesh. That the level called Yechida, Eino Me'iru Klal Beguf, doesn't shine in the body. We know there are five names to the Neshama. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chai, Yechida. So Nefesh and Ruach, Neshama are enclosed in the body. Chaya is kind of, sits on the head, and Yechida doesn't become enclosed at all in the body. Ragdavuka, Hulamayla, it still remains attached above. The Nikra Mazla, that level is called Mazel. B'loshan HaGemara, it's called the Mazel of the Neshama. It's because it's above. Kidua Mashakosav Ach Betzelem Yisalach Ish. As it is known, what it says, Betzelem, with Tzelem is this Mazel Yisalach Ish. Hayim Chanasa Makif Shemeir Ala Guf, this is the Makif, this is the encompassing light that's shining from above on the body. Mashakib Chanas Yechida Atzma. V'zeu Sha'amar Miyad. Oh no, I made a mistake. Ki yedua mashak, when it says b'tzelem yishalach ish, that with a tzelem a man walks, that's the lower makif, the makif that's shining on the body. But the yechida itself is utterly above the body. V'zeu sh'ama m'yad kelev yechidasi, my yechida is protected from the dogs. She'ein l'chitzainim, the powers of the chitzonim, the external forces, don't have achiza baklal, cannot affect the yechida. That's what we know, the pintaliyid, the part of the Jew that's above them, can never be damaged by anybody. And on that we say, place me like a seal on your heart. Yes. Put me as a seal on your heart. The diyukni ishtarbach. My diyukni. My image remains attached to you. That's what we say. Hashem, put me on your heart. There's a piece of me that's always attached to you. No matter where I'm wandering, no matter where my heart and my consciousness is, there is a deeper dimension of our soul that is always attached, always in Hashem's heart. Now, this is in every neshama individually. above in the mother of all souls, the Shekhinah, the Malchus of Atzilus, Shu Nefesh HaKlolus, which is the general Nefesh, K'mo Shekosef Kihiyoy Se'im Kochai, she's the mother of all souls. Hainu, so which part of the Shekhinah is called the Yechida of the Shekhinah, is Hainu B'chinas Keser the Nukva, is the crown of the Nukva, Shedavik Bizah Tam V'Atzilus Tamid, always remains attached to the Ze'er Anpin. This whole journey that the Shekhinah goes down during the week is not her crown. The crown always remains above. As we said earlier, the nine sphirot descend. The Eina Yoded Leher Lamata Klal does not descend to go down at all. Your words, which is the Shekhinah, is always standing in the heavens. As it says in Eitz Chaim. Omnam b'Shabbos, but on Shabbos, Yoded Umeir b'Bchinas Malchus. On Shabbos, the entire Shekhinah receives illuminance from this transcendent Keser of the Shekhinah that shines it. What he's basically saying, when you say Neshama Yesera in Shabbos, it's not some foreign Neshama. It's your own Yechida that shines into you on Shabbos. K'moy b'chinas Neshama Yesera, this is like an added Neshama, Ala Adam Lamata, down here below. V'zehu Sha'ama V'kulan Mis'atrin, and all of them, Befrat, all Neshamas become illuminated by their Yechida. K'moy ken Yuvan, b'chinas HaKlal, b'klolus Nishmas Yisrael, the general neshama, which is the Shekhinah herself, Shubchenes Malchus Kiyadua, becomes illuminated with a transcendental light that shines upon her on Shabbos. V'dai l'mevim, and is enough to understand. We need to understand how is the difference from what he was saying earlier. I'm not exactly sure. Kedain Sheirusa Detzloisa Lavar Chala Bechedva. We're going to the last piece. Kedain Sheirusa Detzloisa. I need the English for a moment, what he translates, Kedain Sherusa. The last few words, Kedain Sherusa Detzloisa, as the dwelling of the prayer, Levarchala to bless her, Bechedva with joy, Benihira Dianpin with a luminance of the face. What does it mean, Kedain Sherusa Detzloisa? That we learned already further.
So then
the commencement of prayer
is to bless her with joy and radiant.
So the commencement of the prayer is to bless her bechedva with joy, benihira da'anpin with a luminance of the face. So v'loimar, and to say baruchu es Hashem. So what does that mean? Hamavorach es Hashem dafka. So now she's the commencement of the prayer, which we open up the Friday night prayer, the Arvit prayer, Baruch Hu Es Hashem. So simply we say, bless God. The deeper meaning is Baruch Hu, draw down blessing, Es Havaya. Who's Es Havaya? Havaya is the Sfirot of Atzilos, are called Havaya. Es Havaya is Malchus, because she's the letters from Aleph through Tav. So she's called Es Havaya. So when you're saying Baruch Hu Es Hashem, you're actually drawing a blessing down to her, not to him. Havaya is blessing his wife. Baruch Hu Es Havaya. Bring down a bracha into Es Havaya. Begin lemiftach legaba bebracha, to open her up with a blessing. Piddush Es Hashem u'pchenas Malchus. That's Malchus. Shen klol es chav beis asfin. These are the 22 letters. Ma'alef atav, from aleph till tav. Shenikra Es Havaya. Called Es Hashem. Es also means secondary. Tafel Avaya, she's secondary to him. The Inyan Abracha, so he said this blessing, Loimar Baruch Hu Es Hashem, to say Baruch Hu Es Hashem, Hainu Lahamshech Tchila B'chines Or HaMakif. To draw down first the encompassing light, Hanikru Chibuk, the Nishuk, which is called a embrace and a kiss, Shekoydem Azivuk, before the intimacy. In other words, Friday night, there's going to be a unity between the Malchut and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's going to start first with an embrace and a kiss, and then it's going to become more intimate. Kama shekasa be'etz chayim, as stated in Etz Chayim, the b'chines chibuk v'nishuk, hem ba'am b'chines or makif. Just like a hug and an embrace, one surrounds the other, so to the or makif, the infinite lights of God surrounding the Shekhinah, she'ein nasa ha'ilada klamem. That's why the chibuk and the nishuk will not create a child. Because in order for a child to be created, his love has to be internalized in her. And these are makif lights. These are encompassing lights that is being shined upon her, but not yet pnimi. Aval b'yichud v'zivug, but when there is a yichud, an intimacy, a zivug, a union, b'hashpa'as man umad, when there is a b'hashpa'a, the influence of feminine waters and masculine waters, which means the actual transmission of the creative nasa b'chinas tolda, that creates birth. Because that's from an internal light. This is drawing down inner energies, not encompassing higher lights. Yeah, it's only makif. Even though their energies are being transmitted, it's not the internal, it's the external. You first need to draw down these makif. That seasons, that prepares, that creates the vessel that the makabel, the recipient, should be open to be able to. It's like in the mimer before the wedding, we speak about the teacher who first says a joke and creates a certain openness in the student that they should be ready to receive internal illumination. So the same is also over here. First, she needs to receive a more encompassing light, in order that afterwards you'll be able to come the yichud bashpas pnimis to be able to receive internally. So just like in the embrace and in the kiss, shebehen is galus. This creates an opening to yufta the tchura, the desire of the male, v'nukva v'yoser. Their desire is created during that pre union. V'afa pikein einan elachana. But nevertheless, that's only a preparation. But without this preparation, this causes the main zivug, requires first this preparation. The kach yovin kana sotu will be understood over here. So is the commencement of the prayer. After she has been beautified, Ba'aris panim al-mata, she has adorned herself with jewelry. Her face is shining with, remember we said the jewelry causes her face to shine. And so she has all this illuminance of all the mitzvahs that she did. The gamma mila, she's also receiving the lights that are shining down, as we said before, from above. Tzarech lahamshech b'chines yaminet chabkeni. The next thing, that's all her beauty. Now we can move to the next stage that he will embrace her and he will kiss her. So that's the prayer itself. The tefillah is the beginning of this embrace. Yamino tchabkeni, his right hand embraces her. Kamamar yachabek lo baila, as we also say in the Arizal's piece for Friday night, her husband hugs her. V'zeu inyan baruchu es Hashem. And when you're saying baruchu, that's the kiss that Hashem gives the Shechina on Friday night. So maybe it would mean that every Friday night you have to be in shul to say baruch. I'm creating problems for Ariel over here. Kamo shekasu makamachar. As stated elsewhere, how can someone miss that? Oy vey, gabal. Shazau, yisirusa d'liyela, shalifnei yisirusa d'latata. That's the his oriris from above, before her his oriris. Lo oriris yisirusa d'latata. Yisirusa d'liyela, sha'achar yisirusa d'latata, u'pchines hamad, sha'achar alasman. U'pchines or pnimi. No, because there will be higher makifim and higher makifim. It's going to continue. It's, yeah, what was now makif is going to go into pnimi, and there'll be more higher makif. So what happens is like this. First, you need to have a sarusa deliela, an arousal from above, to awaken the arousal from below. And afterwards, the arousal from above that comes after the sarusa. So it works like this. The kiss and the hug is him embracing her, which prepares her for the deeper receiving of, and then in the zivug itself, when he's giving of himself to her. So, shubchenes arpini. V'zal pidesh shirusa detzloisa. Let's understand. What does it mean, shirusa detzloisa, the commencement of the prayer? Lifnei pchenes hayichud shebetfila ba'arpini. In prayer itself, during the prayer, during Shmona Esrei, on Friday night, during the davening, that's the spiritual intimacy between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shekhinah. But before that, the Baruch Hu is the embrace of him to her, his kiss to her, and his embracing of her. Tzarech levarchala, he needs to bless her, b'chedva, with delight, Benihira da Ankin with a luminous face. Mimakar habracha is from the source of blessings. Va'ares panem el yainim de erech anpin. And the radiance of the face of erech anpin. Shu makar kala makifim. Which is the source of all the makif lights. Va'achakach es havaya. Baruch Hu, he blesses es havaya. Mekabeles mepchinas hamevorach. The es havaya receives Baruch Hu es Hashem. Hamevorach. Who's mevorach? Mepchinas yesod zah shenikra mevorach. The yesod element of the Ze'er Anpin is called blessed. Mipchinas or pnimi, which is the internal light. K'moshe Messiah, b'soif ha-maiver, ha-mavorach du afiku de-birchon me-makayra de-chaya. This is what brings forth the blessings from the source of life. We'll begin the ihu beraza de-as kayama krinen le-ha-mavorach. Because we know that all the energy of the male, all the energy of the man is all conducted and drawn down to the yesod. And the yesod is that passes it on to the recipient. So sfiras ha-yesod is the ultimate collection, like we spoke last year about the five times chesed, all flowing into the attribute of yesod to prepare it to go to malchus. Yesod is the source of all blessings. That's Yosef. Because it yesod receives all the blessings and transmits it. So Baruch Hu es Hashem, there is first a blessing to Malchus, even before she receives from Yesod, because Yesod is the Zivug. Yesod is the actual intimacy. Yesod and Malchus. But in order to be able to have that, before that, there has to be Baruch Hu es Hashem, there has to be an illuminance from Keser, from Erech Anpin, to Malchus, which is the kiss and the all of that, which opens Malchus up, that she can receive Hamavairach, she can receive the bracha from the one that's blessed, which is Yesod. And then they have, we begin the Iu Beraza, the Askayama, since this is the secret of the sign, which is the bris, krinale hamavairach, that's called hamavairach v'dayla mevin, and is enough to those who understand. He doesn't give much more detail on it, but this is the completion of the zivug, which happens. So there's a whole preparation over here of first her separating it from removing the weekday clothing, preparing herself to enter into the unity and to enter into the zivug that happens on Friday night, which happens on Shabbos. All right, L'chaim. All of this needs a lot of commentary. And we will. This is the seum of the Maimar. It's interesting. If you daven with a minion, when you daven with a minion, you don't say this last part. But if you're davening alone, you say the end of the Zohar. So it's a question why. I don't know. So it seems like it could be because the actual end of this passage of the Zohar, you could say, is talking about the actual Zivug. And maybe that has to be, that's only Biyachid. I'm not sure. It could be. I'm not exactly sure why. Whoever instituted to say this did not institute saying that last part, only till this part. Only if you daven b'yechidus, you also say this last part. We say baruch, but if you daven b'yechidus, you add another passage of the Zohar that talks about the final zivug that takes place. Yeah. Kegavna and, yes, and baruch. Okay. I don't know if these secrets are meant to be.